Palm Passion Sunday, see first, posted March 28, 2010. Deuteronomy 32 36 39. Vindication. Psalm 3115, 9 to 16. Deliverance. Philippians 2 5 11. Example of Christ. Luke 2 2 7 20. The Lord's Supper. Luke 2 3 1 49. Christ's trial and crucifixion. Deuteronomy. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion for his servants. Deuteronomy 32 36. When he sees that they are powerless, when none survive, either enslaved or free, then he will ask, where are the gods upon whom they have relied? Their rocks of refuge? To whom have they offered their sacrifices of fat and wine? Let them rise up and protect them. Look now and see that God, the Lord, is the only true God. God has the power of life and death, illness and healing. No one can escape from the power and judgment of God. Solemn background. Attributed to David, the great shepherd king of Israel. Psalm. The psalmist seeks refuge in the Lord. He claims the promise that God's servants will never be put to shame. He claims the promise that God's servants will be delivered by God's righteousness. The Lord will listen to and hear the prayers of his servants. If we know that he hears us, we can be sure that we have received the requests we have made. 1 John 1 5 14 15. See condition for answered prayer, sidebar, top right. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes wasted from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. Psalm 3 1 9 10. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. Yea, I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. My trust is in the Lord. He is my God. My times are in his hands. He will deliver me from the power of my enemies and persecutors. Let the Lord's face shine upon his servant, and may his servant be saved by the Lord's steadfast love. Philippians. Let us have the same attitude that Christ taught by word and example. Although he was of the same nature as God, pre-existent and divine, he did not seek be equal with God. Instead, he emptied himself of self-interest and took the form of a servant, being born in human flesh, as we are. And being fully human, he humbled himself and became obedient to God's will, even unto physical death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2 9 11. Luke 22 background. Jesus had come to Jerusalem, knowing and foretelling three times that he would be crucified. Luke 9 22, 44 to 45, 17 25. This would happen according to God's plan and timing. Luke 22. On the day of unleavened bread, the feast of Passover, Jesus told Peter and John to go and prepare the Passover for Jesus and his disciples. They asked him where he wanted them to prepare it, and he told them that when they entered the city they would meet a man carrying a jar of water. They were to follow him into the house which he entered and say to the householder that the teacher Jesus was asking the householder to show the two disciples the guest room where Jesus and his disciples were to celebrate the Passover. The householder would show them a large furnished upper room where they were to finish the preparations. At the hour of the meal after sundown, Jesus told his disciples, as he sat at table with them, that he had longed to celebrate this Passover with them before he suffered. Jesus said he would not celebrate it again until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus took a cup of wine and, when he had prayed in thanksgiving, he passed it to his disciples to share among themselves. Jesus told them he would not drink wine again until the kingdom of God had come. Then he took bread, and having given thanks, broke it and distributed it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Luke 22:19-20. CRSV footnote J. Compare 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Luke 2:31-49. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious supreme court of 70 priests, scribes, teachers of the law of Moses, the Jewish Bible, and elders, condemned Jesus. Luke 22:66-71, and took him to Pontius Pilate for the Roman method of execution by crucifixion. The Sanhedrin accused Jesus of perverting the Jewish nation, forbidding them to pay tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be a king. So Pilate asked Jesus if he were the king of the Jews, and Jesus replied that it was Pilate and the Jews who had said so. Pilate told the Jews that Jesus had done nothing criminal, but the Jews were insistent. When they told Pilate that Jesus was a Galilean, and thus in Herod's jurisdiction, Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, who governed Galilee, Pilate decided to send him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was glad to have the opportunity to see and hear Jesus, hoping to see him do some sign miracle. Herod questioned Jesus at length, but Jesus made no reply, while the members of the Sanhedrin made accusations. Then Herod had his soldiers mock and treat Jesus with contempt. They dressed Jesus in kingly attire and sent him back to Pilate. As a result, Herod and Pilate became friends that day. Pilate announced to the Sanhedrin that neither Pilate nor Herod had found Jesus guilty of anything deserving death. Pilate suggested that he would have Jesus physically chastised and released. The Jewish leaders demanded that Pilate release a man named Barabbas, a notorious insurrectionist and murderer, as was the custom at the Passover celebration, and crucify Jesus. Three times Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the Jews wouldn't hear of it. So Pilate gave in to their demands, released Barabbas, and had Jesus delivered to be crucified. As the Roman soldiers led Jesus away to crucifixion, they conscripted Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the countryside, to carry Jesus' cross behind Jesus. A large crowd and women bailed and lamented Jesus' execution, but Jesus turned to them and told them to rather mourn for themselves and their children. Jesus said that the day would come when they would consider blessed the barren who had never had children. The day would come when they would long for the mountains to fall upon them and the hills to cover them. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Luke 23:31. Two criminals were led away to be crucified, one on each side of Jesus. Jesus prayed to God his Father to forgive those who crucified him, because they didn't realize what they were doing. The soldiers cast lots like rolling dice to divide his garments among them. The people stood by, watching, but the Jewish leaders mocked Jesus, saying that Jesus saved others. He should save himself, if he really was the Christ of God, God's chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, telling Jesus to save himself if he were the king of the Jews. There was an inscription in Jesus' cross identifying him as king of the Jews. One of the criminals crucified with Jesus also taunted Jesus to save himself and them if he were the Christ, but the other criminal rebuked his fellow criminal. Did he not fear God, since he was under the same condemnation, justly, while Jesus had done nothing wrong? The second criminal asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus received his kingly power. Jesus replied that this criminal would be with him in paradise that very day, from about the 6th to 9th hour noon to 3 p.m. There was an eclipse of the sun and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Luke 2:3-5b. Jesus cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Luke 23:46, and stopped breathing. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he declared that Jesus was surely innocent. The onlookers, seeing what took place, returned to their homes, beating their breasts in ritual mourning. All Jesus' followers and the women who had accompanied them from Galilee witnessed these things from a distance. Commentary. Deuteronomy. The Lord will not abandon his people, his servants. It is they who abandon him for false gods, for false security, and refuge in worldly things. When God's people turn away from obedient trust in God to pursue their own wills and interests, God removes his favor and providence from them and allows them to experience troubles in hope that they will realize that true security and refuge, help and protection are only through obedient trust in God, and that they will therefore return to him. The enemies of God's people, who serve false gods, will be accountable to God. Nothing can protect them from God's power and judgment. Psalm. David acted upon the promise of God's word that God would deliver God's servants by God's righteousness. When God took David from being a shepherd and gave him victory over Goliath, the enemy of God's people, David began to learn by experience the fulfillment of that promise. 1 Samuel 1:7-151. David eventually became the great human king of Israel. David prefigured the ultimate perfect eternal king of Israel, Jesus Christ, the son descendant of David. God said of David that he was a man after I sharing God's own heart, who would do all God's will. Acts 13:22. Psalm 89:20. 1 Samuel 13:14. David was not perfect. He committed a terrible sin of adultery and murder with Bathsheba and her husband, Uriah, the Hittite respectively, and he suffered the consequences, but he was forgiven. To Psalm 112:12-26. David wasn't delivered by his own righteousness, but by the righteousness and faithfulness of God. John, one of the 12 original disciples and apostles, a son of Zebedee, taught that if we pray according to God's will, we can be sure that he will hear us, and if we know that he hears us, we can be certain that we have received the requests we have made. 1 John 5:14-15. Psalm 31:9-13 prefigures the situation of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the son of David. David, and ultimately Jesus, committed themselves to God and trusted in God to deliver them from their enemies and persecutors. Jesus' resurrection from physical death to eternal life is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to save his servants. Epistle. Jesus was fully human and fully God. Colossians 2:8-9. John 20:28. He was fully human, but sinless. Hebrews 2:14-15. 4:15. Jesus has been God's one and only provision for our forgiveness of sin, disobedience of God's word. Romans 3:23. 1 John 1:8-10, and salvation from eternal destruction, which is the penalty for sin. Romans 6:23. See God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right from the very beginning of creation. John 1:1-5, 14. At the perfect moment in history, Jesus came into the world in human flesh and became the one and only sacrifice acceptable to God for the forgiveness of sin and salvation from eternal condemnation. Gospel 1 pound. The Jewish leaders had wanted to destroy Jesus, but they were unable to do so until it suited God's will and timing. Jesus came into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his disciples and institute a new covenant testament of grace and unmerited favor. A free gift to be received by faith, obedient trust, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Eucharist, and the night of his betrayal and rest, to replace the old covenant of law. Passover represents the sacrificial feast that sealed the old covenant. The Lord's Supper represents the new Passover, the sacrificial feast that seals the new covenant. Note that Jews were strictly forbidden to drink blood or consume it with flesh. Leviticus 17:10-14. Deuteronomy 12:23. It was believed that blood contained the spirit of the animal. God doesn't want his people to be filled with the spirit of animals, but with his Holy Spirit. The element of wine is an appropriate symbol because it is the blood, Genesis 49:11, of grapes with spirit, alcohol. Jesus declared that the cup of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Eucharist, was his blood. But realize that one cannot receive the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit just by receiving communion. 1 Corinthians 11:27-29. Gospel 2 pounds. The Jewish leaders wanted to, but were prevented from physically killing Jesus until the fullness of God's timing. Jesus did not surrender to physical death until he chose to do so. Luke 23:46. Judaism was a green living relationship with God until Jesus' crucifixion. Judaism today is a very dry, dead religion. Judaism today is more cultural than spiritual. God has departed, but no one seems to have noticed. Many Jews today curse God for allowing the Holocaust, but fail to realize that the Holocaust was because they rejected their Messiah. Where was God during the Holocaust? Where were they during Jesus' crucifixion? Matthew 27:25. The Jews are not irreconcilably lost for eternity, but Jesus is the only way to be restored. Jesus said that He is the only way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through Jesus. John 1:4-6. Jesus Himself said that Jerusalem could not be restored to God until they confessed that Jesus is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 23:37-39. Luke 13:35. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13. Ephesians 1:13-14.